Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It is time for another episode of Chicks Cha-Ching with Zach Abraham, who is the Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and he is our go-to guy when it comes to all things finance and money and banking and mortgage related. Zach, we got to meet you in person this past weekend at our meet and greet, and that was so much fun.
Yes.
What a pleasure.
Yeah, we had a great time. We were talking afterwards about I've been to several of these. We do local radio, and we do a radio show in Phoenix and Portland and Seattle, and so and we've done promo work with other people that do shows and podcasts and things like that. So I thought I was prepared. your guys' listeners take it to a whole nother level, man. First of all, they get down. Right. They like to.
Yeah, we can party. Yeah. We come to party. Yeah,
there was plenty of good times being had by everybody. And then just the intensity. I mean, the great people. I really enjoyed meeting all of them. But they weren't messing around, man. When I saw that dance, when we got there, there was the dance floor. And I was like, no one's going to dance. No one's going to dance.
Underestimate them, Zach.
I walked outside and I was talking to somebody for like 15 or 20 minutes. I came back inside and an 8-year-old couldn't have fit on that dance floor. I mean, it was just, then they're body surfing you guys back and forth,
Right.
They're throwing Amy Jo up in the air doing cart. I mean, I thought I went to a greet and meet, and it was like a 3-ring circus, it was.
Yeah. It's like all of a sudden you start hearing the chicken dance, and it's funny because the DJ's like, listen, you're going to lose people with the chicken dance. And it's like, I don't think you understand this crowd.
That's
you're
right.
not going to lose
no.
anybody with
oh,
the chicken
no.
dance.
Yeah. I mean, no. you could have, I mean, mm-hmm. I think probably like the only no. thing that you could have put, like if you put on, the only way you'd have stopped that party is if you'd have run like a audio from a Biden speech. Or put on some kind of like anti-American tune or something like that. Other than that, I mean, you could have thrown you could have thrown like children's songs at them, and that party would have kept raising.
Exactly. They'd be dancing to it.
We've got a great group, and hopefully you got a lot of attention from the folks that attended. What kind of questions were people asking you? What kind of conversations got started?
You know, it's funny because in a lot of ways, it felt like we were talking to our own clients. A lot of the questions about, what's going on, markets rallying, but things look really scary. What about gold? A lot of the same questions that we get. And I think it's on a lot of people's minds, just because I think if you look at the economy and the markets right now, I could be wrong, but we study this pretty extensively. I don't think that you've seen a period of time where you have as many different conflicting cross currents going on. And so, it leads to a lot of confusion. So the number one thing was, trajectory, what's the economy doing? Like I said, gold, is it a good time to buy bonds? All those questions, I think people are really concerned. And, I think the thing that, and they echoed this at the meeting or at the meet and greet that I was at with you guys as well, which is, I think there's just a lot of confusion on what to think, meaning, is this kind of the bottom where we should be buying here despite the fact that things look kind of scary? Is this not? You know what I mean? There's just so many conflicting cross currents. And and what's funny is, we certainly have our takes and our opinions on it. But, to be quite honest, this is why we do things the way that we do them, because you get into periods of times like this in markets where, things don't make sense. And you got to have a game plan.
People are unsure. People are unsure, and they're unsteady. That's happy. At least that's how I when I talk to people about money. Listen, if you're not a financial expert, you just are unsteady and unsure anyway. But then when you throw like this administration in the mix, then you're like, geez, I don't even, then you get really unsteady, and then you just feel stupid about all this stuff. And that's, yeah, that's where people like you come in, because we just don't know. Like, it's hard to navigate any of this. It's just scary. It's terrifying.
Yeah, I've got several clients who are very wealthy and who got that way by managing their own money. And they've come to us waving the white flag, just saying, look, I can't make heads or tails of this. I've been managing my own money for 40 years and I'm completely lost. And you know, one of the things I tell them, I'm like, okay, well, I can't tell you exactly what's going on. We've got a pretty strong take on it and we have a pretty strong view of what's happening, but you know, things change. And so that's why we focus on managing risk, guys, which is, you know, we get into an environment like this, and I think people don't really look at it correctly. And I think this is kind of a good lesson for all of your listeners. When you get into situations like this, guys, when you go from accumulating to retirement, as opposed to going into retirement, when we're accumulating for retirement at age 40, age 45, the name of the game is stack away as much cash as possible, right? Market goes down, keep putting money away, just keep doing it. When you get up to where you're gonna retire, you're into retirement, the goal needs to completely shift, right? The game is not about growing the stack the biggest anymore. The game is about taking that stack and converting it into a lifetime income, right? And by saying that, I don't mean put it all in CDs and annuities or anything like that, but the whole point of the money changes, right? Or the goal of the money changes. Now it goes from growing it to creating income flow out of it. And so one of the things we talk about with our clients is when we get into uncertain environments like this, we are always going to risk not making more money, right? So meaning when we're investing, we have to court one of two risks at all times. We're either courting the risk of substantial loss, or we're courting the risk of not making as much, right? So part of our risk management approach is when we get into environments like this where markets are really expensive, economy looks really bad, and dealing with all these issues, we're just going to kind of put the brakes on. And if we're wrong, it means we won't make quite as much, but not making as much has never blown up anybody's retirement, right? And so you know, you get into environments like this and people don't know what to do. I get it, right? Because you've got the economy doing one thing, you got stock markets doing the opposite. And, you know, usually those emotions are going to get involved and make us do probably exactly the wrong thing at exactly the wrong time, you know, and it's not just retail investors. You see pros do it too. And you know, that's why we put in those risk management principles. So we're just like, hey, we're going to be good either way. But the one thing we're not going to risk here is substantial loss because we just can't afford it.
So what's going on with banks? Like, banks are freaking me out right now.
Yeah.
Everybody.
No, and they should be, because it's a multi-pronged problem. And I think that that's what makes it so caustic. Meaning the issue you have with banks. So if people want to know why guys like me were, you know, like madmen yelling into a storm for like the last 10 years about the Federal Reserve, it was because they kept rates at 0% for 15 years. So it's not just the level of rates, it's how long they stay at that level. Because when you have rates at 0% for 15 years, everything gets refinanced, right? So debt instruments lose value as interest rates go up, right? And the only way central banks like the Fed can fight inflation is by raising interest rates.
Which they just did again.
Right. So for 15 years, you've been tilling the soil with 0% interest rates, right? Which eventually will lead to inflation, right? Because you're just putting too much free money. That's why I say you're tilling the soil. Eventually, inflation's going to grow out of that soil. We just don't know when, right? But you spent 15 years tilling the soil. And the impact of that is a record amount of debt piled up around the world paying record low interest rates. So when the inflation shows up, there's only one way to fight it, with higher interest rates. But when you raise those interest rates, you crush the value of that debt that you've created over the last 15 years by 25 to 35%. So those are all the safe type of assets that banks own. Okay, so when you start raising rates going into a recession, what happens during a recession? Depositor base, the depositor base at banks goes down, right? Why? Because people are pulling money out of savings. They're in a recession. The business isn't making as much profit. So you're going into a recession. You're jacking up rates because you've got 40-year high inflation. That's knocking the value down of the assets that the bank owns by about 30%. At the same time, they're dealing with record depositor flight because people are afraid of banks going under. And oh, by the way, we've got a blow up in commercial office space pending that we haven't even started to price in. And guess which banks own all of that commercial office space paper? It's the same regional banks that are getting killed right now. Right. So it's not going to be a systemic issue like 08-09. Some banks are going to have done a good job. But when Biden was out there 3 weeks ago, literally, he did a press conference where he's like, this bank problem is behind us. People yeah. came into my office yeah, to see what exactly. was going on because I was laughing so hard when he said that. Right. Because
I mean, he's such a moron. Oh my,
well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you have a finance 101 level of understanding, you realize that those banks are going under because they own too much low interest rate debt that just got blown up. Well, any bank that's been operating for the last 15 years owns too much of that debt. It's impossible, right? They have to own debt. They got to have collateral underneath their, you know, underneath everything they do. So by definition, it's going to be low interest rate debt, which is going to get slaughtered when interest rates go up. So there will be
yes. more of them. It's just that it's not going to be yes. all of them, but there yes, will be more.
It's going to be more of them. Right. Warren Buffett was talking about this the other day where he's like, yeah, there's going to be more bank failures, like book it. And the reason you know it is just because it's not a one-off problem. And then the other reason that you know mm-hmm. it too is just to keep little news flash for you guys. In the last 2 months, you have had more. So when we say market capitalization, what we're referring to is the entire value, like the market value of a bank, right? So if we added up all of JP Morgan's shares outstanding, that would be their market cap. In the last 2 months, you've had more market cap of banks fail than you had during the great financial crisis, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And everybody's sitting there going, is there going to be a recession? And you're like, that's what happens. So again, it's mm-hmm. not going to be a systemic issue, but with each bank failure, it puts more pressure on additional banks because you're tightening credit, right? Yeah. When banks are going under, they're not lending as much. Well, you got a debt-driven economy.
Right.
That's kind of a problem, right? So mm-hmm. it is dicey out there. Again, I don't think what they're going to end up doing, you guys, is they're going to end up backstopping and guaranteeing every depositor. Okay, so.
Wow. But then doesn't that just like make the inflation worse?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's all the spending. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you bet. So, and look, and that's why we've said the inflation's going to be with us for a long time, because we can go back, you know, you can go back 2,500 years. Okay. And what you see is that whenever a government faces a very tough choice of, okay, we either need to drastically cut spending and reduce debt and do the painful things, right, that nobody wants to do. We've got to do that.
Being responsible.
Yeah, right.
Right.
We got to uh-huh. do that, or we've got to let inflation run hot, because there's two ways you get rid of debt, right? You either pay it off or you inflate it away, right? Meaning if I own $1 million worth of debt right now, but I know that the currency is going to lose 7 to 10% of its value a year over the next 10 years, right? By definition, that debt is going to be a lot less onerous 10 years from now because, right, inflation goes up, the value of my dollar. So I do financing. I take on the debt at today's rates with today's dollars, but I plan on paying it back 10 years from now with tomorrow's dollars, which are worth way less. So it's a process we call inflating away the debt. And every government in history has opted for the inflationary route because, bottom line, it's easier to get reelected with an inflation problem than it is a depression. You know, so
I don't understand how can any economist be a liberal? I just don't get it. Well, I just don't understand it. Like, it just blows me away. Like, how did AOC have it? She has a degree in economics.
Well, she is not an expert.
I love the voice.
But I mean, like, this is the thing. Like, it just seems so, I just don't know. It's in our best interest to to be on the right side of all of this. And it blows me away. Like how anybody that does what you do could be like, oh yeah, it's a great idea to just like spend our way and just like be completely irresponsible about all this. You know what I mean? It's just, it's nuts to me.
I think this will make it make a little bit of sense. So when you're talking about something that I do, so if you're a money manager running a portfolio, the percentage of those that are conservative to liberal, it's probably like 80-20 conservative. And the reason it is because of what you just said, meaning if you think magically like a liberal, the markets aren't going to make any sense to you, right? But when you're talking about economists, economists are academics, right? When you're an economist, where do you like the best job in the world is to work for the government, work for the Federal Reserve, but you know.
And so
you kind of have the same issue in economics that you have in the medical industry. Right. With all the doctors saying all the recently my daughter and my wife are in Washington, D.C. right now for her school trip. And they both got COVID right before they left. And they were talking to a doctor doctor was telling my daughter because she had at 12 years old, because she hadn't been vaccinated, she had much higher risk than my wife. Well,
what?
Right.
Oh my God.
It could not be more wrong, right? The data is conclusive the other way. But why does she say that? Because she's a doctor and it's a peer review, academic type structured environment, right? So the most important thing for a doctor is not to get it right. It's for your peers to think you're right.
Right? Oh my gosh.
Precisely. You are so right.
And economists are exactly the same. Right. It's exactly the same dynamic. Gosh. And that's why they do this, right? Wow. That's why, you know, the Fed did the same thing in 2008, 2009. They waited too long to hike. Then they hiked too aggressively. And then boom, right? It makes it frustrating, but it's the world that we live in.
Feelings over facts. Feelings always. Over facts where they have no business being.
My gosh.
Well, I mean, that's a very insensitive thing for you to say, you know?
Yeah. I'm sorry to hurt your feelings. You okay?
Yeah,
you okay, Zach? You all right? Okay. All right, good. I figured you would.
Y'all, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. Where can people find you and tune in and get more information about how you can help them?
Yeah, so I think the easiest way is probably to listen to our show or our podcast, which is Know Your Risk Radio. You can just pull it up on any Google or any podcast site, Apple, iTunes, whatever the case. Go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, knowyourriskradio.com, several different ways to find us. But yeah, one of those will work great.
All right. Well, always a pleasure. So fun to talk to you.
You bet, ladies. Thank you so much.
See you next time.
Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only. It should not be considered specific investment advice, does not take into consideration your specific situation, and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any securities or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed, and past performance is no guarantee of future results. For specific tax advice on strategy, consult with a qualified tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello. Thank you for listening to Chicks on the Right. This is columnist and podcaster Sarah Carter, and I would like to tell you about your new best friend on Friday nights, ZBiotics. Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to zbiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's zbiotics.com/RADIO radio and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.